It's now time for the MLB.com Cut 4 Cast. Cut 4 Cast. The Cut 4 Cast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut 4 Cast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Yes, I'm here.
And somebody finally deigned to make his presence felt here on the Cut 4 Cast after so long, Ian Kay.
Well, clearly not a Cut 4 Cast listener, Dakota Gardner, because the week that you didn't show up, I was here.
Exactly. Yes.
I know, and I was offended by that.
Filling your literal seat.
No one can fill this seat. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good, too. Gemma, how are you?
You know.
What kind of reaction is that? There's baseball happening right now.
Yeah, and yeah, there is. I'm very excited. But I'm cold, and I wish I was in Florida and not in New York City.
It's been warm the past.
Yes, okay, but now it's like 39 degrees, which is an abrupt change, and I hate it.
Well, it's baseball weather. Whether it's cold or warm. I mean, you know that I'm pro cold weather baseball anyway. But on top of that, it's baseball weather because baseball is happening.
This is true.
So, Ian, what has been your favorite thing that you've seen from spring training so far?
My favorite thing I've seen, I like the photo days.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of that. Mm-hmm. Guys doing little bits, some jokes. No, I think it's just funny that it's like high school or like elementary school picture day that these guys have to do every year.
No,
it is like elementary school.
It's the same thing.
They just have to pick a quote, too,
You're not allowed to like wear a shirt that just has like a train on it, which you could have done in elementary school.
But you put on your like nice, clean uniform, you cut your hair, and then you take your picture.
Aww.
What would be your goofy photo day photo?
Wow. Like put the jersey inside out.
Oh,
something like that.
Rally jersey.
Yeah.
Gemma, what would be your weird photo day photo?
I like the ones when guys photobomb each other. Yeah, so I would just sneak into Ian's photo, I think. But really close to the camera.
I like the ones where they pose with their name sign. I would definitely do something like that. Because I would be a superstar and people already know who I am.
This is a very deep fantasy life.
Gemma, what's your favorite thing from spring training so far?
What is my favorite thing? I like it when guys who I've never heard of before hit home runs.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fun because I might never see them again. But I have this moment in the spring training game where I'm like, good for you, man. It's exciting. We just watched one like 5 minutes ago in the Mets game. I already forgot this guy's name, but he hit a grand slam. It was awesome.
Yeah, you're right. Spring training home runs are good.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think that might be my favorite thing, too. Because the way that they leave the park, like, in a baseball stadium, it'll go into fans or, you know, it'll go into a bullpen or whatever. Here, it'll go into just, like, a field or, like, another field or just random space. That's great. I like that.
Or a car could
hit a car. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
It could. Anyway, enough of this nonsense. We need to get into the real meat and potatoes, the peanuts.
Oh my God,
and Cracker Jacks.
Double bubble.
Whatever. Of the Cut 4 Cast. And I'm really excited.
It's been like a full year and you can't remember that double bubble is crucial.
Whatever. Who cares? Not me. You know what I care about? David Ortiz will release his memoir titled Poppy, My Story. Described by the publisher as an entertaining, unfiltered memoir, the aptly titled Poppy, My Story will come out in May. I know that you guys are both excited for it. Ortiz has actually already written a book in 2008. He called it Big Poppy, My Story of Big Dreams and Big Hits. So subtly different, a little different. But a lot has happened to the man since then. He's won another World Series. He's retired. He's living high on the hog. Off the hog? I don't know. Somewhere near a hog.
I don't even know what phrase
and
that is.
That's a thing.
Wasn't that Cespedes?
No, yeah.
No. What are you, Ian, are you going to read David Ortiz's memoir?
Yes. Maybe.
Well, you were going to read it.
No.
Is this going to be like when I lent you Pedro's book and you just gave it back to me and you were like, I didn't read this?
Sold out.
That is true. I'm reading many important books.
Yeah, okay. More important.
The literature, you could say.
More important than David Ortiz's life story.
I don't have anything against David Ortiz. I'm just not that into memoirs.
Okay.
I think what I'm going to do is just read the excerpts and, like, wait for the bombshells to drop on Twitter.
Right.
Like, if you're going to write a book these days, you got to have some bombshells.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to see what we can find out.
He says he's unfiltered. So, I mean, that's going to be a lot.
Is unfiltered, is that more or less than tell all.
Right. Would that also mean like just like that the audiobook is rated R because
I bet they'll be swearing.
Yeah.
It's David Ortiz will be swearing. Mm-hmm. Dude dropped the most famous swear in the last like 10 years of baseball.
It's true.
Gemma, are you going to read the book?
Obviously, I'm going to read the book. Yeah. Try to review it for the site.
Obviously, I'm going to read the book.
Yes.
What are you mostly looking
for? Why did you not ghostwrite it?
You'd have to ask David Ortiz that question. I sent him many emails begging to do it and never heard back. And in fact, got a cease and desist letter. I don't know.
Is it David Ortiz like with someone? Does he have a call?
It doesn't matter who the other person is. It's David Ortiz.
Also, I want to know like how many intervals can you write memoirs in your life? Like how much time has to pass before you can write another one?
You've
already written
out.
One, right?
Left stuff
how much
out?
Time has to pass before you can title it with the same title as your previous memoir?
It's a completely different title.
When David
How
Ross
dare you?
Writes his memoir, because it's coming out this year, does he have to only wait like 3 years before he writes another one? And it's like a totally different book. It's not even update.
I'm excited for David Ross's memoir because, I mean, that he's lived for a couple centuries now. And I think that's a lot of history that we'll get to appreciate in his book.
Rude.
I kind of hope that Poppy, like, I don't, did he do the pre-Red Sox years in his previous memoir? Like, I don't know that much about the...
Surprisingly have not read it, so I can't
Well,
say.
What? That's why you're not
so
allowed to ghostwrite.
So judgmental about me potentially not reading this one. You've had since 2008 to read the last one.
This one is unfiltered, thank you very much. The last one was clearly filtered.
I mean, I hope it's anywhere like close to as hilarious as Pedro's was, because it was so funny.
What's the most embarrassing baseball player book that you've read? Or have you even read a baseball player book?
I'm sure at some point I read the Mo Berg book in the day.
But that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that wasn't embarrassing. Yeah. That was a good book.
Yeah.
I don't know the most embarrassing baseball book.
I definitely read Dustin Pedroia, Born to Play. That was good. I don't really remember anything in it, but it was exciting. This was a long time ago. I'm not sure why he was writing a book like 6 years into his career. Who knows?
I don't know that I've ever read like an embarrassing baseball book. I can't think of one. I read a lot of books, but they're mostly just really... like deep cut historical stuff.
What's the worst baseball book you've ever
the
read?
The worst baseball book I've ever read?
Let's put somebody on blast.
Oh, that makes me feel bad.
Don't say the title.
It's not
just
like
describe it.
Sometimes I've read like boring baseball books that have interesting information, but the writing wasn't necessarily very good at conveying how exciting it actually was. Mm-hmm. I read this book a couple summers ago that was about like pre-AL baseball. And it described one specific team and how the city reacted to it. And it was full of really crazy tidbits. And every time I would turn a page, I'd be like, this is so weird. But the actual sentences, it was just like, oh, I'm reading the world's most disinterested person. Just like look at a box score and recite it back to me. It was so bizarre. And I didn't understand why that was.
Weird.
Yeah.
I read a book. I don't remember what it was called. But it would have these reviews like, oh, it's like an appreciated work of like literature of some kind. And it was a guy who had like a fictional baseball league. I think he had some kind of like, simulation, like score sheet type of thing. And the book flashed back and forth between like him in his apartment, like thinking about the league and then the actual goings on of the fictional baseball league.
Wait.
Sounds interesting.
Is this a novel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was real.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this guy's like, I wrote about my fantasy league.
Like, that's essentially
what
he did.
But I'm treating it like it was happening. No,
that needs to be a new genre, is like fantasy league fan fiction.
That's what I thought this kind of sounded like. But maybe he had decided.
I mean, that basically was.
Maybe like the real part, he was like, but I'm going to spin it as like a fantasy league memoir instead of fanfic, which it is. But
it was like fictional play. It was like a completely fictionalized league.
And this was good or bad?
Not good.
Okay.
I can't believe you found my manuscript.
That actually reminded me of the worst baseball book I've ever read.
What's the worst baseball book you've ever read?
I am not going to name names or anything, but it's about a time-traveling baseball enthusiast. It was about a professor disappears and he discovers time travel. And somehow this kid like finds a magical card in a box. Also, this kid's dad is missing and possible. I didn't finish this book, so I don't know what happened to him. But the kid's dad is also in the wormhole, maybe. But he finds a magical baseball card box, and then a all these ghost players come out and like play. But the point of the book is that the ghosts, it's like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Satchel Paige, like all these ghosts, they organize a ghost team to play against. And like Mike Trout is a character in this book, like team of current all-stars. But it's also a nefarious plan by an evil person. I don't remember who, but to like trap the kid's dad. I don't know. It's terrible.
Isn't that sounds Space Jam?
It's like baseball Space Jam, but with ghosts. And also all of the
so
voices.
Michael Clare wrote this
book? No. I feel like Clare would have an idea for character. Like all of the baseball players talk exactly like in the same way, no matter what time period they're from. Oh, it's very dubious. It's a very dubious piece of fiction.
All of these ideas are things that we would have and possibly did run on Cut 4.
Oh my God, it was sent to me as a review copy. When I got the synopsis, I was like, this sounds hilarious. I can't wait to read it. And then I was like, oh no.
It's actually bad.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, hopefully there's some ghosts in the Poppy book.
There might be. You don't know with David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think there will be some kind of like a revelation that's like treated as scandalous or like groundbreaking in some way?
Yes. Yes, I do. It will be David Ortiz ripping a contemporary that people are not expecting him to rip. That's what it will be. I don't know that. So don't cite me or anything. I know nothing. But that would be my best guess.
Yeah, there was always those. There were those moments in Pedro's books, but they were all people he played with, and he'd be like, "Oh, I actually really didn't like this person." But there was an entire section where he was just like, "Oh yeah, I hit that guy on purpose," which was kind of great. Yeah,
It was every player he hit was on purpose.
Just hoping it's like, you know, like I didn't want to say this, but like every day at batting practice for like 3 years, I went to Pedroia and I was like, "Are you ready to see my laser show?" And then like he just went and said it. I hope it's like that kind of thing. Just like
that would be really good. That would shake me to my core. Let's move on here because something else happened this week that shook the baseball world to its core.
Oh, did it?
It yeah, it absolutely did. David Ross, formerly of the Chicago Cubs, many mm-hmm. teams, he will compete on the ABC reality television program, spelled the British way, MME, the end, Dancing with the Stars. Are you feeling optimistic about his appearance on Dancing with the Stars? I'll give you a quote that MLB.com's Kerry Muscat got from Addison Russell. He said, "Rossi has great feet. As a catcher, you have to move your feet. Maybe go a little swing dance the first few dances or hip hop, then get into the salsa stuff." So he's feeling pretty positively about David Ross. So my question to you, Gemma, I guess we'll ask you first.
I'm making a face because I can't believe that Addison Russell thinks that David Ross is going to like really kill it in the hip hop round. That's really surprising.
He might break a hip, but he'll do it.
Can he break dance? Like, I really need to see this. Was he on a step team in high school? I'm so interested.
So I will say, athletes do well.
Yeah.
But it depends on the athlete, because pretty much every time it's the gymnast or figure skater wins. So I think Nancy Kerrigan is participating, so mm-hmm. he's going to have some trouble, I think.
I mean, Simone Biles is on the show, and she does not lose, so I don't think that she's going to lose to David Ross.
Well, yeah, that's true. I was going to make a Nancy Kerrigan joke. I probably shouldn't.
Oh, that yeah, no, that's sad.
Here's a question, I guess. Unless, Ian, do you have thoughts on David Ross's performance?
Well, I mean, I just love the Russell quote, considering catcher is kind of the one position where you don't have to move your feet.
You got to jump up, right?
Yeah, but like shortstop, you do that every play. Catcher has four true. Times a game, there's a bad pitch, you have to move your feet.
Catchers tend to be a bit larger, too.
Yeah.
I'm
curious. A lot of people like work out for this show, like non-athletes will like go on training regimens. I'm curious whether like when he decided to do it and if he's just been training or if he like retired and if I retire from baseball, I would just never exercise again. And if he just like took 3 months off and like decided to do this last minute and is now going to have to like get in shape again.
I'm sure as an athlete, you can like get back in shape relatively quickly.
Have you seen a lot of athletes post-career?
Yeah, well, that's true. Also, yeah, you're right, though. I mean, they do get in shape. There's the photo of him with his partner, and she's, like, ripped. Yeah. Like, her arms were, like, totally jacked. So, like, he needs to...
Maybe she'll lift him.
That would be Ooh. Awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool, right?
That would be super cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know, which current player do you think you want to see in the... Dancing with the Stars, because I think he's the first baseball player to be on the show. So like, this is he's groundbreaking. Who's gonna follow in his footsteps? got to be a shortstop probably, right? I feel like that's a good place to start potentially. Andrelton Simmons could be good. I don't know if there's other players with good dance moves.
We talked to Delano DeShields a while ago, and he said that Elvis Andrus and Adrian Beltre salsa together in the clubhouse all the time.
I've seen that.
And he says they're really good. He said that when he was like saying that when he watches them dance, you want it to be funny at first, but then you're like, no, this is just great dancing. I'm just impressed by how good they are at dancing.
So they, as a pair, salsa dance?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Amazing.
That's the team to be on.
Yes. Obviously.
Ian, what do you think? Who do you?
Yeah, I think hasn't Mookie Betts done some dancing in the outfield? We've seen him do some of that.
Yeah,
I think.
He's joined in with the Sox.
Yeah,
dance
some
crew.
Of those guys. There's a decent amount of dancing in baseball,
right?
There's more than there's been too. Like I feel like we're in a golden age of baseball dancing.
Yeah, I hope that David Ross goes out and kills it, but
Well, I feel like catcher, like you said, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of ex-athletes do look kind of awkward on the show. Like, if you aren't a movement athlete.
Did Hines Ward win? Did he do well?
I don't know.
I've definitely watched an episode of Dancing on the Stars before.
Did you guys know that the trophy win is just like a disco ball on a stand?
Yeah.
Really?
I did not know that. It's called the Mirror Ball Trophy.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess.
All trophies are good trophies.
All right. Okay.
Also, he might find himself leading a cabinet position.
We should get it.
Let's... let us move on, but before we do, I just want to take a moment. I just want to take a moment to tell you about another one of the best podcasts that you can listen to. Also happens to be an MLB.com podcast, totally coincidentally. It's the Fantasy 411 podcast. You want to win your fantasy league this year? Well, Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach will cover the bases for you all spring, giving you an edge over your friends. No matter what kind of format you play, the MLB fantasy crew has been there and won that.
Oh,
and they'll help you win too. So go to iTunes, type Fantasy 411, that's the numbers 411, into the little search bar, and you can subscribe there or wherever else you get your podcasts. But it's time to discuss Game of Thrones. I don't watch the show. I can only deduce that that is the theme song.
That is.
Well,
is.
I don't know if
you
you've heard.
You can't see, but there's like a city spiraling off in the middle of our podcast table.
I don't know if you've heard, but there will be Game of Thrones theme nights at MLB ballparks this summer. You'll have the chance to see, get collectibles, ticket packages, giveaways, merchandise. There's going to be social media events, all kinds of stuff going on with Game of Thrones. Ian, I don't know anything about Game of Thrones. Get me up to speed. What do I need to know to enjoy the Game of Thrones MLB theme night?
Where do I start?
You can tell me the entire plot in 10 seconds.
Do you like beheadings? Can I interest you in incest?
Okay.
No, there's a lot of like valor.
Okay. Beheadings, incest, valor.
Dragons. They're dragons.
There's an existential threat to the realm, which must be the realm must be protected. These are dire times.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's dark.
How does that relate to MLB?
Well, those parts of Game of Thrones don't necessarily relate to Major League Baseball.
How are you going to get yourself hyped for that Game of Thrones MLB?
Are you gonna dress
I'm already
up?
Hyped for it. Okay, let me say something. Theme nights are great.
Yes.
And the default theme night from like Little League to MLB is Star Wars. It's always been Star Wars. Every team does Star Wars.
As it should be.
Star Wars is a franchise of movies and stuff.
Terrible.
It's not the only franchise.
Yeah, it is.
It's one that is fine. Like, it's good. Like, I'm glad people have space cars, but it's not the only one. I have to watch all these Star Wars nights, and like, yeah, it looks like people are into it, and I'm glad they are. I just wish there were some other theme nights for other fantasy series, and now there is, and Game of Thrones is as good of a series as any because there's so much, like, lore and so much history and backstory. Because there's thousands of pages of book about it, which I've read all of.
And yet you don't have time to read Pedro. Okay, fine. I see.
I will
can't
say,
read David Ortiz's
so
book, didn't read Pedro.
To participate in a theme night at a Major League Baseball stadium, which pertains to a series that I enjoy.
So I love theme nights. Every theme night should be Star... Actually, every night of Major League Baseball should be a Star Wars theme night. But if that's not going to be the case, I am excited for there to be a Game of Thrones theme night, even though I will not be able to understand anything that's going on, I will be delighted by all of it.
I would like to take personal credit for this because I wrote a post like months ago that was vote for what you think should be the new pop culture theme night. Game of Thrones was on there. Stranger Things was on there. Both of those things are now theme nights. So you're welcome,
obviously,
everyone.
You can't see this because this is a podcast, but Gemma is smugly playing with her hair while she's explaining to us that she's the true genesis of Game of Thrones theme night.
Yep, I'm so great. You're right. Are you going to dress up?
Yeah.
As what?
This is what I'm saying. I would like to make the point that some theme nights are better than others, such
as
Star
Wars theme night.
A couple years ago, the Giants did like a turn back the clock where they turn back the clock not only in their uniforms, but the whole stadium.
That's
so they had like a mechanical scoreboard. They had all of the like stadium employees were dressed up, you know, in I think it was like 19, whatever the uniform was from. I think it was like a 1920s uniform. They had like a barbershop quartet. So making it an actual theme night instead of only doing like a giveaway and, you know, the uniform. I'm all in favor of that. We don't know what's going to happen with Game of Thrones, but I hope that they do encourage fans to dress up and such, in which case I would probably take the black. defend the realm for the rest of my days.
So you're going to, like, have to make a cloak out of crow feathers or whatever?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Correct.
Great. Good.
I understand.
It's kind
of
an edgy,
references.
More hipster choice.
Are you going to grow out a giant beard, like, and your hair?
Yes.
Are you going to do your hair like Kit Harington?
Very unkempt.
Yes, good, good, good.
Bring my diamond glass. Can you bring diamond glass past security? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yes. what other thing do you want, like, what other IP do you want to be a theme night?
IP?
Let's talk IP.
Well, I was gonna
Let's
say
do it.
I had a whole list of other Game of Thrones integrations.
Okay, well, give me another. Okay,
wait, yeah,
because
you said you wanted to be like a whole theme. So I was like, so do stands, they sell mead, and they sell, like, does everyone get the giant turkey leg? Like, we're all in Seattle.
Yeah,
what is that?
I think there should be various, like, in accordance with Game of Thrones, there should be various food options. Like, you should have the king's banquet, like, maybe more of a luxury suite kind of thing. But
Ian's going to start class war.
In the book, George R. R. Martin is... he's known for, like, describing food in extreme detail. Like, when there's a feast for hundreds of people, he'll describe every single food item. It'd be like, and then a platter of quail was rolled in, and then the mincemeat pie was rolled in, and then the cherry tart. And
they own New Jersey's finest, George R. R. Martin.
Yes, go Jets.
Mets fan, George R. R. Martin.
That's right.
Yes. Mets also. Notable blogger, George R. R. Martin. So I hope that is maintained for the Game of Thrones theme nights. And then I hope there's also in, like, the upper deck, say you get your, like, more flea bottom, like, gruel bucket. Okay. You know, just like one big cauldron with, like, mostly water and, like, feet of a bird or something to flavor it.
Okay.
Game of Thrones has...
Sounds very popular.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, all kinds of people who eat all kinds of things. There's a couple scenes where, like, there's inns on the road and, like, a passing knight will just order a bird and then, like, eat the whole bird. Like, it's cooked, but it just in one bite. Just,
who's
like,
the, what's the baker kid who makes, like, lion shaped or wolf shaped pies?
Yeah.
Animal pies, shaped pies,
yes.
Not weird, you know, just animal shaped.
Well, there's a lot of pie issues.
Yes.
Some that I can't endorse.
A lot of pie issues.
Did I list cannibalism earlier?
No, but now that's back. So great.
What a show.
Holding in the cannibalism.
What a show.
That's good. Yeah, I had to stop watching it after a while.
Yeah, well, it's not TV. It's HBO.
Boo you.
No, we love HBO. We're here for HBO.
I'm fully in support, and I can't wait.
So wait, okay. Is that like your dream evening of Game of Thrones night, or is there anything else? Like, what merch do you want?
What merch? Like a great sword?
Just like a full-on sword, though. Not like a bat that has kind of like a sword handle. Just like an actual sword.
Is a great sword better than... a good sword?
Well, it depends what kind, because you have your one-handed and then your two-handed greatsword.
I see.
I'm going to get so many at tweets from real Game of Thrones fans.
Do you?
So, everyone should also know that Ian continually makes fun of me for Star Wars knowledge. So I just want to throw that out there.
The thing is, like, I'm probably getting some of this wrong. I think greatsword is by default two-handed, and there's a different kind of sword that you would wield with one hand.
Yeah.
Makes but, sense. Well, okay, one of the cool things about the swords is, like, each sword, or many of them, have its own, they have like a name and a personality, and it's like has, they get passed down within houses.
Does the sword choose the wizard?
Okay, this is awesome. This is like the time when Ian referred to R2-D2 as the beepy robot.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I'm so
it was
glad
terrible
I can witness
insulting.
You guys just tearing apart each other's fandoms.
I'm going to stop you because I don't think anyone wants to hear your in-depth discussion of the difference between the one-handed and two-handed greatsword. I'm going to put the kibosh on that, and I'm going to ask you, what is your IP that you want to see next?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm Game of Thrones, like the one, it's like the biggest show. I mean, I think there's
you want a young Pope?
Yeah.
Young Pope Knight?
Oh, do I want a young Pope Knight? Yes, please.
There should just be like HBO.
There should
nights.
Be.
Every single HBO show would be an incredible theme.
I saw the article. We have a long-standing and healthy partnership or whatever it was.
We do.
I am 100%.
Sopranos theme night, great. The Entourage theme night, great. The Curb Your Enthusiasm theme night, incredible.
That's most of the time I go to the game, just be complaining about things. Young Pope theme night. There's so many hat options. I was mostly into Young Pope as just like a fashion show.
Oh, so bad.
Like, why do people only wear baseball caps on the field? There's a lot of potential here. The sun hat, I support.
Oh, the like white thing that he
yeah,
wore?
The like round, like safari hat kind of deal. You could have other hat, you know, the various colors of like your classic Pope hat.
I'm in on that.
You could do like a papal sweatshirt jersey.
I support this idea.
Gemma, what's your IP? What do you got?
Well, I want there to be a Harry Potter night. That's my big nerd thing. Yeah, that's my, you know, in-depth fandom thing that I do.
Yeah.
Which is my version of your Game of Thrones and your Star Wars. So, I mean, I've seen it at minor leagues. I just feel like you could really go all the way with it, which I haven't really seen a club do yet.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Would it have to be Quidditch instead of baseball on the field?
Yeah, they should just play Quidditch. just play Quidditch. But baseball players have to play Quidditch, not just like Quidditch.
I don't think
people.
They'd be very good at it.
Yeah,
not a lot of them can fly.
This is not a lot.
That's a great
but
point.
Some.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, there are just already so many good foods and snacks, and you know, everyone already owns a bunch of Harry Potter themed outfits, so easy.
That's good. I like that. I don't know what mine would be. I mean, maybe. Sticking with the IP family, we'll do Disney World theme night. What up?
Oh my god!
You wouldn't. You know, don't you feel like to pick one specific Disney thing?
I mean, but really, I just want more Star Wars. I don't care about other IPs.
Boring.
That's all I want.
Someone used to do like an oral history of why baseball is so saturated with Star Wars nights, and I've said I don't have a problem
it's
with them.
People love Star Wars.
Who would you dress
That's
up
the oral
as?
History.
So
the
Ian's
going to
be
character?
In the Night Watch. Is that what it's called?
I probably Captain Cassian Andor of the Rebel Alliance because he's great.
Well, I will not compare you to Diego Luna, but
I'm not as good as Diego Luna at anything in life. But I
his
like
name
his
is Cassio.
Cassian,
like the watch.
No, Cassian. I know that you're very into Casio watch. All right, let us move on to this last topic. Gemma was kind enough to create for us a quiz, mm-hmm. one of her patented quizzes.
Oh, yeah, it's patented.
Asking
patent
you,
pending.
You should take it. You can go to MLB.com/cut4. You can take this quiz, and you will find out if you're more Florida or Arizona, because as you know, we are in spring training, and there are spring training teams in Florida, spring training teams in Arizona. Which is the right one for you? It's not always the same city or state. Those are states. The same state that your team is in. So, Ian, I don't think you've taken this quiz yet.
I have not yet.
So let us find out. And if you want to, you can go to MLB.com/cut4, play along with us. That could be fun. So you pause the podcast right now, go find it, and then hit play, and then we'll go. Great. Good job. All right. So, Ian, the first question here, pick a sunset. Now, obviously, you can't see this if you're listening to the podcast and not playing along, even though I just told you to. But one of them is just a beautiful, cloudy sky, and the other is just an empty, empty, beautiful thing.
Thing.
I'm not a poet. They should have sent a
description.
Poem. Ian, which one do you want?
I like the one with no clouds.
No clouds.
Yes.
All right, no clouds for Ian's sunset. Choose a sweet treat We have a kind of gross picture of churros where they look like worms.
It's all almost right. like you're trying to influence my choices.
Or a like a frozen slushy drink.
I'm not into the frozen slushy. My fingers get all sticky. It doesn't actually have any flavor. Churros are great.
Okay.
I picked that one.
Okay, it's a gross photo.
All right,
churros. Now, which dog is cuter? One is a sort of black and white spotted dog making a kind of dumb face. And the
it's a French bulldog also.
Okay. And the other is like a noble brown and white dog who's sort of nobly looking to the north and has floppy ears.
It's a boxer puppy.
Is there a dire wolf option?
No.
Pick.
Boxer puppy.
Okay. That's the one on the left?
No, the other one.
Okay. I don't know dog types. Okay, which of these wild animals would you choose? One is an adorable little rabbit, and the other are two
otters. They're otters. Why don't you know what animals are? Have you ever seen an animal before? Have you been in New York so long you don't know what any animals are?
I don't know what these are.
Otters are adorable. There's a lot of good animal videos of otters.
So you're an otter man?
Yes, I'm an otter man.
All right. That's the thing you put around your phone, right? If you had to paint your room one of the following colors, which would it be? Dark green, pink, sort of a beige brown thing, a lighter orangey brown, sky blue, or a lighter green.
Well, a true story is, two apartments ago, I decided that after 4 years, it had enough of the plain white walls that it came with, and I was going to paint the walls.
Okay.
And that looked a lot easier than it is. So after like several rolls of painting tape and like a lot of time on a ladder, I ended up I painted 95% of the wall and just left the like very 3 to 5 inches where the wall met the ceiling untouched and called it artsy. And that wall was painted blue.
Blue it is.
That is so collegiate.
All right.
It was like 24.
Pick a uniform accessory, sunglasses or a Jonas Cespedes style compression sleeve.
Sunglasses.
The sleeve.
It's hard to pull off the sleeve if you're not Cespedes.
Which walk-up song would be the best? The Middle by Jimmy Eat World or Fireball by my personal favorite musician, Pitbull?
Jimmy Eat World. I guess.
It's too late. You can't take it back.
So, all right, Ian. Tabulated. It turns out that you are Arizona.
Yes. I did not want to be Florida, man.
It's worth noting,
so
I am Florida.
Florida is like just one big pit of snakes and alligators.
If you don't like snakes, you're going to a state whose baseball team is called the Diamondbacks.
I mean, I did almost make one of the
questions.
I bet
there's still fewer. There's no like 75-foot boa constrictor loose in Arizona.
I almost did a question that was, how would you rather die, being eaten by a snake or being eaten by an alligator?
And they're both Florida.
You're both haters. I just want to throw that out. Jenna, which were you? I was Florida.
Oh, I was Florida too.
Yeah, so two on one. How's that?
But that's, you know.
Shove it.
Miami seems great.
Yeah, and then there's the entire rest of the state.
You are both terrible. Florida is great.
Arizona is a super fun place to visit.
I've not actually been to the Cowboys.
Arizona is fun.
I
want to
go.
Yeah, and all the spring training is in one place. It's like you
can
drive.
But the driving is fun.
The dry heat is nice.
Yes.
Look at the cactuses.
That's part of the fun of Florida spring training is it feels like a road trip because you have to drive to all the different places.
I don't know how you are selling driving around in a swamp state as like a good time.
You guys are haters. That's all it is.
They had
the
a
faster
subway
just
or
recedes
something.
Back
that
into
would be
the
great.
Ocean, the better.
You guys are just haters. Here is something that is interesting that could be fun. I don't know. I would find it fun. We set up an email address, cutforecast@mlb.com. If you have thoughts, questions for us, questions about baseball, your favorite baseball memories, your favorite baseball stories, email them to us, cutforecast@mlb.com. We'll read some good ones, we'll answer your questions, all of that kind of stuff.
Unlike Twitter, which I deleted from my phone, like this is an actual email which will pop up on all of our phones if you email it, as soon as you email it.
It will, and it will be great. So do that if you have any questions for us. Gemma, you spoke to Anthony DiComo, beat reporter for the New York Metropolitans. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Well, why don't we take a listen to that right now?
So Mets beat reporter Anthony DiComo has very kindly joined us on the Cut Forecast today. How is it down in Florida?
It's great. Weird things happen all the time with Mets players. So I feel like they're kind of the perfect team for your podcast.
Yeah, we talk about the Mets a lot. There's so many things we have to get to today just on the list of weird. But let's start with the most recent weird thing, which today we're recording on Thursday. And in today's game, we saw what might already just be the greatest play of spring training, and it didn't even happen on the field, really. So Mets prospect Luis Guillorme caught a bat that just went flying into the dugout, and it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. He looks so casual. Did you get to talk to him about it at all? How did he feel?
I did. I went in after the game, and I talked to him. And, well, first of all, he said his phone was plugged in to the clubhouse wall during the game, and he hadn't been back in the clubhouse. So when he came back after the game, one of the clubhouse guys came up to him and was like, "Luis, your phone has not stopped buzzing since you made that catch." And he had, like, hundreds of Instagram notifications. He had, I think he said, about 50 texts. And he was checking through them, and I came up to him, and I was asking him about it. And he was like, "Yeah, I usually, like, don't get out of the way of stuff when it comes flying at me." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he was like, "Well, when I'm standing in the dugout, I'm like, things happen from time to time in baseball games and balls and bats and whatever else comes flying at you." He's like, "Yeah, I usually just kind of don't move." And I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. I just kind of stuck my hand up and the bat went there and I caught it."
It looks that casual. It looks like he's been practicing doing this one-handed bat catch his entire life.
Yeah, like, I don't think he even realized how cool it was what he did until other people started telling him how cool it was. But the best part to me of the whole thing was Brandon Nimmo, who was standing right next to him, looks like he got shot by a cannon. Like, he goes barreling back to the back of the dugout, and he has, like, his hands over his head, and he's kind of like, and Guillorme goes, well, it was funny because Nimmo kind of went, and he went back into the dugout, and he went into the exact path of where the bat would have gone if I hadn't caught it. And Nimmo was like, yeah, that was pretty amazing what he did there.
So he just saved Brandon Nimmo's life, basically. Just
essentially,
you know.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, there could have been a death at Mets camp today, and Luis Guillorme prevented it. So
a hero, clearly. I mean, that I am definitely more like Nimmo. I would have taken cover and then gotten hit by the bat. But
yeah, I feel like most people's first reaction is not to, like, just put yourself further in the line of fire. And, like, you know, even if you did do that, like, you know what it's like? It's like when you have a really awesome high five with someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to high five them, and you get that perfect, like, crack. You hit their hand perfectly, and it sounds and it looks so cool. And then you don't want to just turn away and take your hand away and start, like, waving it in the air because it hurts, right? It's happened to everyone. Like, you try to be cool about it. So I feel like there's a little bit of that going on because there's no way he just caught that and was like, yeah, no big deal. I'm done.
Yeah, I feel like if his life method is just standing in front of things that get thrown at him, it's got to, you know, you got to get hurt sometime.
I feel like that could also become, you know, a Photoshop meme type thing of just Luis Guillorme catching random things that are thrown at him.
That sounds fun. Maybe, like, we'll make some of those.
Yeah, he could be like a Subway pitch man, like a foot-long sub in his hand, or he could do a... you know, whatever, like a baby, whatever comes flying his way.
Well, now we just know we need to have him around all the time in case of random flying objects like meteors, falling satellites, whatever. He's got it. That makes me feel a lot better.
I also just gave you guys Cut 4 content for like a month. You can just do one of these every single day.
I mean, that's what we're going to do. We'll credit you. Maybe we'll think about it. So that's just one of the many ridiculous things we've seen so far from the Mets in the spring. Last week we talked about Steven Matz catching a shark, going shark fishing.
Yeah, no big deal.
Just, you know, going around looking for sharks. I didn't even know that was a thing that people did, like, intentionally try to catch sharks. But it looked very strenuous.
Yeah, like trying to catch sharks on purpose.
Yeah. I would think he would want to avoid them, but I guess not.
Yeah, I try to avoid anything that wants to eat me, you know, as opposed to me. Like, you tend to want to catch stuff that you're going to eat, not that where it's like a 50-50 chance that, you know, it eats you.
Seems very dangerous, but he came out of it okay. That seemed fun. Definitely a different animal than, like, when Jonas Cespedes and Noah Syndergaard rode horses into camp last season, which seemed a lot friendlier. Have you seen any kind of weird conveyances, cars, etc., in Port St. Lucie?
No, it's been a little calmer. I mean, Jonas Cespedes brought one pretty cool car in It was kind of similar to what it did last year. I still haven't found out, you know, the Mets players go to the rodeo every year, and they went last weekend. And last year when they went, that was where Cespedes bought the country hog that he ultimately may or may not have slaughtered at his ranch and held a barbecue for everyone. So I feel like there's something that we're missing, that there's some story that's still out there from what may or may not have happened at the rodeo this year. I mean, there's just some weird things that happen at Mets camp.
What's the weirdest thing that you've seen that the rest of us may not necessarily know about?
The weirdest thing that I've seen that the rest of us may not necessarily... God, that's a good question. I wish I had a snappy answer for you right off the bat.
You're like, oh, but yeah, there was just an alligator like walking around the camp and it became best friends with Jacob deGrom. That'd be great. I would like to know that if that happened.
But that's the thing is that very well could have happened. Like, that's a plausible thing that could happen at Mets camp.
I mean, I would not be surprised if every single one of them adopted some kind of Florida fauna to take home with them and like have to be their pet.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can picture Jerry Blevins having some sort of, you know, like garden of that fauna where he just, you know, cultivates it by his locker or something. It's just weird stuff all over this place.
Florida's a weird place. I mean, okay, so one thing that we have noticed is that there's a sort of like a facial hair creep going around. Just mustaches appearing everywhere we look. Do you know whose idea it was to grow the mustaches?
You know, I don't think it was any one person's idea. I think this was a little overblown, and here's why.
Oh.
I feel like dudes in the wintertime of a certain age just kind of grow facial hair because they're bored. And I feel like you had these four independent dudes who just did that, and then they got to camp and they were like, oh, well, why don't we just turn this into mustaches? And then they did that. Like, that's just what dudes do.
So, wait.
They grow facial hair because they can.
But is it an activity? Like, oh, I'm so bored. Let me just sit here and concentrate on growing my beard.
No, they're not, like, sitting in a chair just squeezing out, you know, mustache hairs. But I think it just, they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to be on camera for a month. Maybe I should just not shave.
Oh, so because now's the time to do the soul patch. I see.
Yeah, like, shaving takes, I don't know, a solid 60 seconds of effort if you're going to do that every day or every other day. So why not just not do it and concentrate your efforts on something else?
Yeah, you could spend that whole minute practicing catching bats with one hand,
I guess.
You know
how many sharks you can catch in a minute?
I watched that entire fishing video, and I'm going to say zero sharks in 1 minute. That took a long time.
No, but you can catch a portion of a shark, and then you round up. Like,
I see. So all the time that was spent catching that shark is because of no shaving.
I'm just saying it's possible.
All right. This beard math I find very questionable, but I'll take your word for it because I do not grow facial hair, so I can't really say that I know.
Beard math is the best math.
Well, whose mustache is the best mustache? Do you have any feelings about that?
I'm going to go ahead. I think DeGrom's was the best.
All right.
Because he just, like, he's got, I don't know, Syndergaard's hair is so, you know, he's got the whole Thor thing going on, and it's flowing and whatever. Gesellman's got really long hair, and I don't know. I just feel like DeGrom, you know, he's from Florida, so he's got that kind of Florida man thing going on to begin with. And, you know, he has a shampoo deal, I think, also. But in a way, you know, his flow, it's just, I don't know. I think the mustache and the hair combination and, like, the really skinny guy and everything, it just makes for, it makes me laugh a little bit.
Well,
I'm sad he shaved it.
You never know. It could come back. Maybe we should just start a fan poll to say bring back the mustache.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, they don't have time to sit in a chair and just concentrate on growing mustaches now. So you might have to wait until next offseason.
What a shame. You should tell him that there is a mustache hall of fame that he could conceivably be in next year if he worked on growing out the mustache.
You realize there is a mustache hall of fame.
No, I
right?
know. I'm serious. I was being serious that you should tell him to pursue candidacy for the mustache hall of fame.
But have you seen the mustaches in the Mustache Hall of Fame? Like, these Mets mustaches, I'm sorry to tell you, they're not close.
Well,
these are not Hall of Fame mustaches.
They should try harder.
Like Raleigh Fingers had a Hall of Fame worthy mustache, maybe.
This, I mean, some he is. Guys, he is in it. Yeah.
It's like a full-time job to maintain that sort of thing.
You can't fish for sharks, play baseball, catch bats, and also cultivate a mustache, I see. Just too
There's
many
only
things.
So many hours in the day.
This beard math is getting really concerning to me, because before I thought that it really didn't take that much time, and now I'm starting to seem like, you know, a Herculean enterprise.
Then daylight savings time is coming up, so there's an hour we're just all going to lose.
Just taking away so much beard time, that's really a shame.
Right. So instead, they're just going to have, like, the weird, you know, like when guys can't really grow a beard, and it's, like, the weird kind of under neck thing.
Oh, no, that's
like,
no good.
A little peach fuzzy. Yeah, like, that's, you don't want a pitching staff full of just peach fuzz guys.
Yeah, don't.
It's not that intimidating.
Don't want to see that. Definitely don't want to see that. So have you seen anyone down at spring training that we up here away from the beautiful air of Florida, are we going to be surprised by this year?
Surprised by in what way, Gemma?
In a positive way, that we're going to be excited to see, that we didn't know about, that we're ready for, that we're just waiting for a new face.
Well, that's kind of the thing about this Mets team, is there are no new faces.
This is the
exact same team as last year. Minus Bartolo Colon, and I know how sad you find that.
I do find it very sad, yes.
But it's other than, like, no Bartolo, it's the exact same team. So they actually open up opening day against the Braves, which, of course, is Bartolo's new team. So it's like, then, for the first time, only then will they be whole again.
That's so sad. But what are they going to do when they have to play against him?
Well, actually, when Noah Syndergaard got here, we asked him, like, what are you going to do when you actually have to pitch against Bartolo? Like, are you going to buzz him inside? And Noah, who likes to joke around a lot, he got real serious. And he was like, no, I could never do that to Bartolo. Just the level of respect is absurd.
Well, that's nice. Matt Monaghan wanted me to ask you if there's a portrait somewhere hanging up of Bartolo, just like, see, so that they can feel whole.
You know what? That's a good idea. There's none that I know of. I mean, maybe there's one. There's like a watercolor somewhere in an inner sanctum of the clubhouse. But if there's not, I will make that recommendation. I think that's actually a phenomenal idea.
Yeah, like a statue, like a small statue, a portrait, like a cardboard cutout, something like that.
I don't think the statue would be small. I think it would be pretty big.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But you want people to travel well, right?
I don't know. I'm thinking more like, you know, like those giant Buddhas that they have?
That would be good. And
yeah, like a 100-foot-tall Buddha statue, but instead of Buddha, it's Bartolo.
I'm definitely into that. I think that's a great idea.
He kind of is like a pitching Buddha anyway, so I think it's perfect. Just a giant golden statue.
I think this is a great idea. I think we should try to make this happen immediately. Obviously, we would love it at Cut 4.
If only you and I were in charge of the world.
I know, what a shame. I mean, the world would be better off with the statue in it, obviously. So you're saying that Noah likes to joke around. He's pretty funny. So we all know that he's great at Twitter, but last week we had Twins beat reporter Rhett Bollinger on the show, and he said that maybe Phil Hughes is the best MLB tweeter. How do you feel about that?
I think, you know, I would not necessarily decline that, and here's why. I think when Noah Syndergaard was first starting out with Twitter, a lot of his tweets that people thought were his may or may not have come from somewhere else.
Whoa.
What is the agency helping him out, blah, blah, blah. I have heard that he's taken much more control of his account lately, and a lot of what you see and what you love is indeed him now. But Phil Hughes' tweets are so random, and so, like, I just feel like Phil Hughes is clearly just picking up his phone like the rest of us are doing and being like, oh, let me fire off some emojis now. People like that. Syndergaard seem a little more scripted, don't they?
I wasn't going to say it, but they do seem a little calculated, yes.
Yeah.
He so also
I,
doesn't.
I feel like Phil Hughes, but Phil Hughes is like a 10-year veteran at
True.
This point. So he knows the trick. Syndergaard, we forget, is still just his third year in the league. So he's learning and clearly has an elite skill set. And when he gets to be a 10-year veteran, I think, you know, he has a chance to be a Hall of Fame tweeter at that point.
Wow. Okay. So we haven't even seen the peak of Syndergaard's tweets. I see where this is going.
Well, you need sustained success over a long period of time.
This is very true. I mean, you need to tell him to start live tweeting The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, though, because that is really a key part of Phil Hughes' Twitter.
True.
Or pick a
but
show.
The thing is, like, 7 years from now when Noah Syndergaard has 10 years in the league, like, will he be the best at Twitter or will he be the best at the thing that comes after the thing that comes after Twitter?
Wow, this is a whole next level media discussion now.
Right? Very meta.
What could even happen to the internet? Will we even have the internet? Will we all just communicate instantly by blinking? It's anyone's guess.
Have you tried?
I'm trying right now. Can you tell what message I'm blinking to you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Don't tell anybody what it is. Just that yes, just confirm it. Great.
Well, that was what you said, wasn't it? It was just don't tell anyone?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. We have definitely confirmed this method of communication. No one should do any scientific research into it at all whatsoever.
Done.
Great. Good. All right, well, before I let you go, what has been your favorite part of spring training so far?
This was it today, honestly. The Guillorme thing,
mm-hmm.
when he got that bat. And, like, I feel like, you know, sometimes as members of the media, like, we're in the clubhouse every day and we're talking to the guys. We're doing our job. And it's like, you know, it's a job. And we're talking to them because we have to, and they're talking to us because they have to. When something like this happens and you get to go talk to this prospect who's never been in the big leagues, and I believe he's in his first big league camp, and, like, you go in and clearly, like, so geeked up that this cool thing happened to him, and he was scrolling through his phone when I came up to him and looking at all the responses he had gotten and all of his friends texting him, and then, you know, he gets to talk about it, and it just goes on and on. Like, that's so much fun to me. Like, that's the cool part of the job. So this is it, and, you know, it blew up for good reason. That was such a cool catch of the bat.
Yeah.
And it was a neat day to see that happen.
Well, that was really amazing. That just sounds so wonderful. And I'm glad, you know, that you were able to get that to us and that everyone can see this amazing catch. Thanks so much for joining us on the Cup Forecast today. We hope that you'll come back and tell us more weird stories.
Yeah, and we scheduled this before that happened, by the way, so go us.
Yes, I know. Maybe every time we schedule you, something amazing will happen. That's the plan, so.
That would be, wow.
Yeah.
The powers that you would have at that point would be no human being should ever have.
Maybe we really do control the world and we just don't know it.
Yet.
All right. Well, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon and have a great time down in Florida.
Thanks, Gemma. I will.
That was a good interview, Gemma. I'm glad we were able to get Anthony on the
phone. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. Is now time to sum up the podcast in 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately summarizes our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Ian, why don't you go first?
What do we discuss? There's the Big Poppy memoir. There's
David Ortiz, David Ross, all the Davids, Game of Thrones,
a little spring training action. We learned a lot about Game of Thrones.
Yes. Learned it yes. too much.
the biggest bombshell from David Ortiz's upcoming memoir is that David Ross
just do dot 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 and do like 1/2
that
and then never tweet the second one. And everyone will be like, oh my god, he couldn't tweet it. It was too sensitive.
Is that
you get
David Ross preferred a two-handed greatsword.
This is the longest tweet in the world, and you're fired. Gemma, what is your tweet?
Okay, my tweet is going to be when Ian retires and writes a memoir about his time with MLB, no one will have time to read it because they'll be at hashtag Young Pope theme night.
Yes.
That's a good one. I like that one, and we'll retweet that one. Okay.
Call me your eminence.
This is a hard one. Let's see. How about this? Dancing with the Stars, :2020. Featuring David Ortiz dancing the waltz as Darth Vader, period.
Are you describing a dream that you've had? Wait, I know we talked about fanfic earlier, so is that what's going on here?
He's on Dancing with the Stars.
But why
do they do the waltz?
Why
on Dancing
come
stars?
Back in 2020 to do it as Darth Vader? Is this like a twist in your fanfic universe that actually the entire time Darth Vader has been David Ross and everything else is just like another layer on top of that?
It was an impressionistic condensing of the podcast into one tweet. If you have a better tweet, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We'll retweet the best ones. Or if you want to write a long screed or your own fan fiction, you can email us cut4cast@mlb.com. You can read all of our content at mlb.com/cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes by typing Cut4Cast into the search bar that theoretically you probably already did because you're listening to us. And while you're there, you can leave us a review or a rating 1 to 5 stars. Please do, because it helps other people find the show. Ian, thanks for joining us.
Anytime you need info about weaponry from the Game of Thrones universe, I am happy to join.
So you're never coming back. Gemma, as always, thank you for being here.
See you next week.
But mostly thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.